Please rise. Here again, the last half of the gospel reading, which is the explanation to the disciples of the parable of the sower. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord, and this is our text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever found yourself in a situation when you were correcting your child, or and maybe you were correcting even someone else's child, and they covered their ears and then began to say things or go on in some kind of drone with some utterance that aided them in not hearing what your corrective advice and maybe what your course of punishment for them might be if they didn't follow your prescription, if they didn't pay attention to what you were telling them to do. I'm sure you can probably, maybe you did that as a child. I can still hear my mother saying, "Jimmy, did you hear me? Are you listening to me?" It happens that way also with crowds who don't want to hear what they might need to hear, but certainly do not want to hear as they disrespectfully shout down someone with authority, but an authority that they do not want to recognize as being their authority. It happens between spouses, but that is usually referred to as selective hearing. Of course, the older we get, we discover that our hearing has been compromised either by the environment in which we worked or the fact that when we were younger, we listened to our music with too much volume, or it just may be that we're getting older and we're losing our hearing. There are other factors, of course, but "huh" is a very common word in most of our vocabularies. If you just stop and pay attention to yourself, how many times you say it or how many times you're saying something to someone else and they say it back to you, is something that we say all the time. "Huh." There are also times when we hear perfectly what is being said or taught or demanded, but we're just not able to understand or comprehend what we are hearing. It doesn't make sense to us. There's a disconnect, and so we're unable to react as we should, or we're unable to gain the knowledge that we might need to know because it's just not making sense. If you listen to the Bible being read in the King James Version, you might also have a similar problem, unless you constantly are in the King James Version and can wade through it. But you might have a similar problem understanding God's Word because we really don't use Shakespearean English anymore. And so it sounds funny. We don't use those words. And so it might be a little convoluted and we have difficulty following. That is why it is important to have current translations for our reading and our hearing so that we might better be able to understand the word of the Lord. And yet, it might seem funny to us then that Jesus uses the literary genre known as a parable to teach the people of his day, because there's some riddles going on, or there's some great opportunities for disconnect if you're not paying attention or if you can't follow the examples that he's using. If in fact he wanted them to learn from this earthly story with a heavenly meaning, wouldn't he have kept it simple rather than tax one's ability to understand what he was saying by speaking in parables? But there might be a reason why people don't understand God's word, even if Jesus is not using parables. And so we're just getting an account of some of the things that Jesus said. We might have trouble, even if these little riddles aren't being used to teach something about the kingdom of heaven. Understanding God's word is not just a matter of comprehending the parables of Jesus. It can be difficult anytime, and I would suggest that there are three reasons why as we look at the parable that is before us this morning. As we look at this, the parable of the sower, it might be a matter of truly listening and paying attention. Jesus knows his audience well. There are things that are distracting them. There are things that are keeping them from truly listening, hearing then with understanding. It might be like children being told what they truly need to hear, but there's too much static going on, and they defiantly refuse to listen, to pay attention. And there's mother again saying, pay attention, Jimmy. Jesus teaches his disciples that even though the word of God is power, it is power. It is power to condemn us for our sins, as I taught to the children, and it is power to rescue us from our sinfulness. The sinful hearer, however, counters that power by resisting or by misunderstanding what is being proclaimed, what is being taught, what's being demanded. Remember that there is a role for the Holy Spirit in using God's word to work faith in our hearts, in helping us to comprehend the message of salvation is shared by the prophets, the evangelists, and the apostles, who spoke and wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We find that in our parable for this morning, known as the parable of the sower, the first problem for listening with understanding is the devil himself. He is like the birds which snatched the seed that falls on the path and has no way of entering the soil. The devil's existence is often scoffed at by many, but even as you listen to my sermon this morning, your thoughts may be misplaced. And that is another way of saying you might not even be connected. You might not even be here in your thoughts. They may even be perverted as you listen. Where does that come from if it doesn't come from the father of lies? What might you be thinking this morning during the service, maybe even during the confession of sins or as we sang the hymn of praise? Would you want what you have been thinking this morning to show up in one of those cartoon bubbles over your head for everyone in here to see? Heaven forbid. There might be some heavy temptation here this morning for your listening, your comprehending, your understanding, or just to take over your thoughts. Secondly, Jesus would have you know that it is your flesh. Paul has a lot to say about being in the flesh over against being in the spirit. And he continued that refrain that we've heard the past few Sundays in our epistle reading for this morning. Our sinful flesh, our very nature, looks for a spiritual high. As long as everything is going well in our lives, we are all for the word. But when tribulation and persecution come, we may find ourselves bailing out or hiding the gospel light under a bushel because we don't want someone else to know that we believe this stuff. or we are unable to deal with the demands that God's word places on us. And so we would just as soon not pay attention or deal with it. This is like the seed that falls on the rocky soil. It springs up in a hurry as the warmth causes instant germination, but when things get too hot, we seek to avoid suffering or humiliation or even obedience, and we substitute something that is easier for us to deal with as our faith in that word, just like the plant that sprouts up withers because of the heat that's there. Then there are the thorns that choke out the seed that has been planted, and that represents the third problem with our listening to understand, as Jesus points to the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches that choke the word so that it proves unfruitful in our lives. We have many cares in life that steal away the joy of listening to God's word about our salvation. Those cares may involve our work, our school, our relationship with our parents, or our relationship with our spouse, or our relationship to our children. The expenses that we incur because of health issues, or the time we have just trying to make ends meet so that we don't have time for God's word. The noise of advertisements that take over or that make us overextend ourselves as we buy more than we need, and certainly more than we can afford, as a form of therapy, self-medication, to make us happy in life. So the parable Jesus shares with us this morning reveals the work of what some have called the unholy trinity, Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh. And he uses the illustration then of the sower to show what happens to some of the seed, that being God's word, as it is planted among us. Luther, in his meaning to the third commandment, shares with us that we are not to despise preaching in his word, but to hold it sacred and to gladly hear and learn it. Yet when we are bombarded by the static of the devil, the world, and our flesh, the former may not happen. And it's the former may happen and the latter may not. In fact, the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, foretold that this would happen. And in the part of Matthew's account that sets in between the parable that Jesus shared with those who stood on the beach and then the explanation to the parable that he gave to his disciples a little later, we have this, these words from the prophet Isaiah. You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But God's word is heard, and when it is heard and understood, when we hear and listen, there are great blessings. Jesus said to the 12, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So how does perceiving and truly understanding happen? Jesus answered the disciples' question by saying, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So that makes hearing and understanding God's word his gift to us. You have been given this great gift just now and even again. You have been given the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus, who helps you listen and comprehend and understand and perceive the things about the kingdom. For some, this happened when you were baptized. For others, it happened as you heard the word and it took root in your heart. leading to repentance and the forgiveness one receives when he flees to the infinite mercy of Almighty God found in Christ Jesus. And then you're baptized. However it happened for you, it was the Spirit's work in your heart. The hearing of that word over and over again continues to put down the sinner in us so that the new person in Christ might continue to emerge all to the glory of God. That's the purpose. We do that as we remember that we are his baptized children, that we were baptized into Christ's death and his resurrection. We were drowned, in other words, and raised. Even if you weren't immersed, you were still drowned and raised again. That's what baptism did for you. You received those gifts from Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. Jesus defeated our enemies, Satan, the world, and our flesh. And so too, he defeated sin and its death. By his death on the cross, he put those enemies under his feet as he was raised to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He gives us power through the hearing of this good news to grow in our faith and to be fruitful. To be fruitful Christians. To find ways to serve and to bear witness, living our lives to him who gave his life into death for us. That's what it means to be in Christ, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we should, in response to God's free and abundant grace, live our lives doing the good works which he has prepared in advance for us to do, showing ourselves to be his disciples. That is how his word bears fruit in us, through our lives of faith which he has worked in us. So be continually asking yourselves what might be keeping you from hearing to listen, truly understanding, perceiving, comprehending God's word and what he's calling you to do as his children. Constantly examine yourself and see if temptation, flightiness, or the cares of the world are interfering with your hearing to listen and allow the Holy Spirit to use the word to reduce the static in your life and allow the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in your life 100-fold, 60, 30, all to the glory of God, who by his Spirit has called you, gathered you, enlightened you in the faith, sanctified you to life everlasting. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.